A couple of weeks or so ago, Carson Gully, chef at the University Dormitories and Commons, gave us some interesting suggestions on the use of herbs and vinegars in food. Today we've asked him to speak especially of salad dressings. Well, we know he has some specialties which he himself has worked out. Mr. Gully, there is variety in salad dressings, isn't there?
Definitely. Salad dressings alone is the secret of success in creating a wide range of variety of salad combinations. Salads may be made from meats, poultry, seafood, cheese, eggs, vegetables, and fruit. They usually require different kinds of dressing or a variation of the same basic salad dressing. Salad dressings are not hard to make. However, they require some practice. If one loves to cook and serve good food, it is well worth the time to learn how to make good salad dressings and the salads they blend best with. Foods which are to be served hot should be hot and vice versa. Cold if they are to be served cold. Most salads are served cold and the materials should be fresh and crisp. Never use stale materials such as cold meat, chicken, seafood, or stale hard-cooked eggs. Salad dressings, no matter how good, will not improve inferior food. There are many rules to follow to know which dressing to use and when to eliminate them. For example, in the case of fruit, never attempt to make a salad without lemon or lime juice. A little sugar sprinkled over the fruit, canned or fresh, marinated in lemon juice will make most any kind of fruit, if properly handled and chilled, good enough for all kinds of fruit salad. In such case, one may find people who do not like salad dressing, and this method will improve the bland and monotonous flavor, lift out the original taste. Vegetables may be improved greatly by treating them with a little sugar, salt, vinegar, and a good grade of salad oil just the minute they are to be served. One must be mindful of the fact that this cannot be done too far in advance of serving time. If so, the vegetables will begin to bleed their juices, creating an unpleasant flavor. The vegetables will become tough and soggy. Meats and seafood should be kept well moist, as dry meats and seafood are never successful in salads. In the first place, they require too much salad dressing. When I mention using a little sugar on fruit, many may say that they like their fruit as it is and not sweetened. I do not mean to sweeten fruit, but merely to improve the flavor. One may not realize until one has tried it just how much a few grains of granulated sugar, fresh lemon juice will do to improve a fruit salad. As I mentioned before, salad dressings are not hard to make, but to make there are hard and fast rules that one must follow. A good salad dressing is made from blending different ingredients together, creating a harmonious and tasty combination. The spices and seasoning must be broken down into a smooth texture, so they may be distributed to all parts of the dressing and finished into an appetizing salad dressing.
Now, the recipes that you're going to give us this morning, I guess, are going to be helpful in eliminating some of our salad problems. And first of all, I noticed that you've given us a recipe for Wisconsin dressing. Now, what's different or new or... what is a Wisconsin dressing?
Well, Wisconsin dressing is one that I created almost by request. It was made for Wisconsin cabbage, and it will have proved to be very successful. This dressing is very good on cabbage salad, called vegetable salad, spring salad, or on sliced tomatoes.
Well, now, what's unusual about it? Does it boil quickly, or... does it have anything particularly in its favor along that line?
Well, there is nothing in it to spoil. It's made of oil, vinegar, sugar, salt, and paprika, celery salt. And the secret of this dressing is to put all of the dry ingredients in an electric mixing bowl, if you have one. If you have an electric mixing bowl, just add the dry ingredients and begin to add the oil very, very slow. beating constantly until you see a certain mass and the dry ingredients have all broke down, and then you add a little vinegar, and then it will thicken almost at that point. And then you alternate the vinegar and oil until it all has been incorporated. And the thing that makes it keep, there is nothing there to spoil. The chopped parsley, onion should be added just a short while before it's to be served. And a mashed clove of garlic for flavor, if you like it. You may use garlic vinegar and leave out the clove of garlic.
Oh, yes, and you said this was one that you really had created yourself.
My own creation.
Now we come to the mayonnaise. Now, a mayonnaise is really a basic salad dressing, isn't it?
That's right.
Perhaps you tell us a little bit about this one that you have.
Well, this is a mayonnaise that you hardly ever see. It is made with hot boiling vinegar. I boil the vinegar with all of the dry ingredients. And you see there's a difference in the yield of 3 to 4 cups. If the egg yolks are whipped until they are of a light, creamy, lemon color, and they will whip up almost like egg whites if they're nice fresh eggs. That increases the yield of the mayonnaise. And then begin to add the oil gradually, until you see it have thickened and begin to stand up strong. And then you add about a tablespoonful of the boiled vinegar that contains all of the dry ingredients that have been cooked to the boiling point. And continue this process until all is incorporated. And then finish it off by adding a little lemon juice.
And then you have a basic salad dressing, and from that, many other dressings.
Many others may be contrived, such as Thousand Island. Thousand Island is one of the most prominent, most popular salad dressings used on hearts of lettuce and in seafood and many other salads where you would like something just a little peppier than mayonnaise.
It has color in it,
right,
too, hasn't it? I suppose, what is it, chili sauce or something of that kind?
It has pimento, chili sauce, and that should, now, in making Thousand Island, you shouldn't add the chili sauce until just before it's to be served. The green peppers, chili sauce, parsley, and all of the fresh stuff, it should be added just before it's to be served, something like about an hour so that the seasoning will be able to get in it,
mm-hmm.
and the color will stand out.
And that, I suppose, would be very good on a vegetable salad.
Very good on a vegetable salad, the hearts of lettuce, iceberg lettuce especially.
Well, now I notice that you've given us a tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce is specially made for seafood. Seafood salads are served with fried fish. Fried pike on a little lettuce cup with a serving of fresh fried pike. That dressing was developed especially for fried fish. You see that it contains quite a bit of lemon juice, Worcestershire sauce, and tartar sauce well confirms its name because it tarts up the fish as you would need something like that with fried fish.
That's right. The fish always needs something a little more than it can give us. Then there's another Roquefort cheese dressing. Now, where would you use the dressing again?
Roquefort cheese is a popular dressing on dining cars. You'll always see it on the bill of fare. And it's used primarily with lettuce salad. And it should be made by making the Roquefort into a smooth paste. If you need a little something added to moisture, a little cream, coffee cream, good well-bodied cream, to make it to the consistency of the mayonnaise and then fold it in. And that is served on green salad and lettuce and many other vegetable salads where people require cheese, please.
Well, not supposing you're going to put the cheese in the French dressing. You couldn't make that quite so smooth, could you?
That's right. That's a good question. Now, that should be more or less grainy. People that care like that in a French dressing, it comes something on the style of the Russian dressing. You see the little grain, and on that you should serve it on a something like a false green salad where they can see the blue cheese in it.
Yes. You mentioned the Russian dressing, and I noticed that you've given us a recipe for that. Where do you use a Russian dressing?
Russian dressing is a little different from the Thousand Island. And in this case, you find people require that. Now, this is for mostly commercial purposes. People have learned to like it in institutions. It's quite a favorite among men to serve on such as lettuce salad. It's a pep-up of mayonnaise to cut the monotony of eating mayonnaise salad dressing.
I noticed that you use a cup of mayonnaise or French dressing in this Russian dressing.
That's right. Now, you think the Russians are certainly like a peanut. Uh-huh. But we have learned to make it with mayonnaise.
I do. Well, then I see you have some other variations of the red mayonnaise, tomato mayonnaise, paper mayonnaise. But I want to hurry right along to the next one that you're offering. And that's a boiled dressing for fruit. Now, I understand this is one of your own dressings, and that it's one of the most popular that we have on the campus.
Fruit salads have grown faster than any salad that we have today. I can remember 20 years ago, in public places, a fruit salad was seldom called for. But fruit salads have grown to be an outstanding favorite, and this dressing will help to improve any good fruit salad. There's a custard should be made with the sugar, water, egg, salt, and the lemon juice and butter. This custard should be cooked in a double boiler or over a water vat until it's thick, then placed in the refrigerator to cool. And then you fold in the whipped cream. And better yet, you could use equal portions of boiled dressing and mayonnaise and then fold in the whipped cream. But do not forget the lemon juice. It's better to add the lemon juice when you fold in the whipped cream. It gives it a fresh taste.
And this is the boiled dressing for fruit. Well, I'm glad that you're giving us a real recipe for that. Now, again, we come to French dressing. You have two types, a French dressing and a thin French dressing. What's the difference?
Now, the French dressing is made with an egg base. This is a dressing that I consider one of the best salad dressings I ever made. It has never been objectionable in any case. It can be used on both fruit and vegetables, and also meat salad, where a heavy, oily dressing is not required. And it has long life, long shelf life. It will keep a considerable length of time out of refrigeration. And it is a very good salad dressing with a nice velvet texture. It does not mar the color and conformation of any salad.
A lady saw this dressing the other day, that is, she saw the recipe for it, and she said, I wonder if that isn't a mistake. I never saw an egg put into a French dressing before. She was just reading the recipe. Well, that is unusual, isn't it?
It is unusual. Now, the thing that makes this salad dressing, the tomato ketchup should be added just before the dressing is to be used, and it will keep longer. The basic part of this dressing, because the egg is in it, is nothing to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
We have put it to a test, and people have taken it on picnics and vacation trips where it has stood up for weeks.
Well, then, what's the difference of this between the French dressing and the thin French dressing?
Well, a thin French dressing has been abused. I feel that people take it too lightly. It's a French dressing, as we have always used, by putting all of the ingredients in a jar and shaking it up until you can taste it, and it tastes fairly good. But I've experimented with this dressing by taking all the dry ingredients and beating them until they broke down, and then add the oil and vinegar gradually until it becomes thick. And there you find yourself with a very consistent, creamy-like French dressing.
Well, we're pretty fortunate to have the recipes for all of these dressings that you've mentioned this morning. We certainly thank you, Mr. Jolly, for giving us your own special recipes. And I'm going to be very happy to offer them to our audience.
Thank you, Ms. Harris.
Thank you very much.